Okay, just give me a second while I get my stuff set up. Good morning to, if I've not said good morning to you, good morning. Hello, my love. Okay. Well, I have... Go ahead and show them the title of my message there, Faith. Title of my message is Confessions of a Reluctant Worshipper. And I'm not highlighting someone in the Bible. I'm actually talking about me. And I just felt the Lord impress on my heart to first start out to share a little bit of the journey and the testimony of my own life in regards to worship. Now, worship can be a lot of things, right? We just heard Russ just say that another act of worship is not just up here singing, but we actually give, right? That's one way to do worship. There's many ways to do worship. If you look up the word worship as a definition, it says to honor or to show reverence. In the New Testament, Faith, you can put the definition up. In the New Testament, worship is primarily translated from the Greek word proskuneo. Proskuneo literally means to kiss toward, right? To bow down. The term signifies an act of profound submission, homage, and reverence. It paints a physical picture of a subject falling prostrate or kneeling before a king. You get that picture? This is prostrate. That's worship. Kneeling. That's worship. Well, like I said, worship can be expressed in many ways, how you do that, right, in your life. But for today, just for the reference of what we're talking about, I specifically want to talk to you about just one aspect, and that's our time of singing, okay? I'm specifically talking about just that. There's many areas, and I'm not even going to cover everything that there is to include in this topic of worship just with what we do here in a singing time. But that's what I feel to share with you today. I feel the Lord wants to... So I'm going to start with my story. I'm going to share with you a little bit of my story. Some of you guys know this a little bit about me. When I got saved, before I got saved, I am not a musical person. Okay? I never owned a CD, never owned a tape, a cassette, never listened to music, never turned on the radio. Before I was a Christian, music was, I'm opposite of my wife. My wife was called Little Birdie when she was two because she was already singing songs when she was two. That's not me. I was totally different. I didn't care for music. I don't care for dancing, to the detriment of my wife. I didn't like crowds of people. I was very shy. I never really wanted to be noticed. I had no desire to be popular or to seek attention. And then I met the one who made me. And everything changed. Everything's changed. I started to develop a hunger to know him more. So I started to pray. Not out loud at first. I started reading the Bible. I started going to every meeting I could. I got plugged into quite a large church. About 400 to 600 people, and they always, through the week, had lots of different things going on, so I just started going to stuff because I was hungry. And in almost every meeting, there was some singing. Have you noticed that? Just about everything we do, there's always some singing involved. And, you know, the words were so impactful to me, right, as I was encountering this God, and then they would sing these songs about him, and it was wrecking me. And I could see that people were encountering
God in these times of singing. And I wanted more. But I struggled. Right? I wasn't comfortable with singing, especially out loud, or raising my hands, or kneeling, dancing, or even clapping my hands. All of it was just so awkward, so awkward. I cared too much of what other people thought. That's what it was really about. But the more I learned about what God thought, the less I cared about what other people thought. You know, I'd be in a meeting thinking, oh, I'm going to look foolish raising my hands. This is such a foolish thing. And then at the same time, I'd be thinking, if I could only just be free. There was something inside of me that wanted to express what I was feeling. I just couldn't get my physical body to do it because I felt so stupid. Then I'd go to think, oh, they'll think I'm just trying to be super spiritual if I try and kneel down or raise my hands or something like that. But then I'd be like, oh, if I could only let my emotions be free. There was a longing in my heart to express something that was bound, really. And then I finally pushed aside all of it, and I did it anyway. I lifted my hands for the first time. It felt freeing and a little nerve-wracking at the same time. It was not totally, it was powerful, but slowly I kept pushing myself more and more to do the things that I felt in my heart. And I was so amazed to express outwardly what was happening inwardly in my heart. And I've never looked back. Now I'm addicted to getting there. It's one of the most favorite things I do, is to get into His presence, to worship and to encounter God. It wrecks me in a good way. What I mean by wrecks me is it washes away all the things that don't matter, and all the things that do rise to the top. And it's such a powerful thing. So that's my little story, my confession as a reluctant worshiper, where I came from and where I am. Now, with that basis, now what I want to talk about a little bit is, what is worship and what is not worship? So I just want to take a few minutes, show you some scriptures, but let me say off the bat, I'm not covering the vast areas of this topic. I'm only covering the areas that I feel the Lord pressed on me to share with you guys today, okay? So don't think, oh, well, you know, worship is this. Okay, it is. I'm just not talking about that today, okay? Okay. So I first am going to talk about three things that worship is not, okay? Three things. First one, worship is not about getting. It's about giving. When we saw the definition of worship, it wasn't about getting, was it? It was about giving. It was about lifting up. It was about praising. It's about thankfulness. It's about declaring. That's what worship, paying homage. This is all stuff giving, right? It's not about getting, right? Take a look at this verse in Psalms 92:5. Let us come into His presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to Him with songs of praise. Right? I think that was David. So that's number one. It's not about getting. There's many, many benefits. But that's not what it's about. It's about declaring who He is, lifting Him up on high, and giving Him thanks for who He is. Okay, number two. It's not to put on a show. You know, there's that saying, fake it till you make it, which is a great saying to be applied in certain places, but not here. That doesn't apply here. You don't fake it till you make it in our times of worship. We are to be led by our relationship with Jesus. And it's not fake. And you're at wherever you're at. Free, half free, not free at all. But it's about people connecting with God. In Psalms 84:10, David says, "For a day in your courts is better than 1,000 days elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wickedness." David realized, man, if I could just be the doorkeeper. He just wanted to be where God was. He wanted to be about him. He wanted to encounter him. And that's what we are. That's what we are. It's nothing of a show in any way. Number three. It's not just a sing-along time. Just to spectate. It's worship. Meant to connect with God. You know, there's a lot of time and effort put into the time that we have that we call worship here with the people that are in here. Do you know what I mean? We have a couple of worship teams. They spend time practicing, getting songs, meeting in the week. You can see every time we come together here, the leadership of this church takes very seriously to try and create a space for worship. Now notice I didn't say create worship. Because someone can't create worship for you. Worship is an individual thing that you encounter. This church and the things and they come up here and sing is to give you the space and an opportunity to connect with God. Whether you connect with God or not, that's on you. Because it's a personal thing. Because that's what really God is about. God is about, you know, worship is a corporate thing, but it's also an individual thing. Right? And so it's not just a sing-along. Okay. So now that we've covered three things that it's not, let's look at four things that it is. Number one. It can be a sacrifice. So look at this scripture in Hebrews. It says, "Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, the acknowledgement, acknowledge his name." You know, there was a time before Jesus came that there was ceremonial sacrifices made, right? As a type and a shadow of the Lamb of God coming and taking away the sins of the world. And Jesus became that sacrifice, right? But there is no more animal sacrifices. And there's no more Jesus sacrifice. He paid it all. It's all. It's finished. It's full. It's complete. But the sacrifices that we can do is a sacrifice of praise. And sometimes it literally is a sacrifice. I mean, sometimes I come here in the morning, I don't feel like it. I literally don't feel like it, but I think, Lord, you're worthy. I'm going to lift my hands anyway. And it's not like I was saying before. It's not a show. I'm not making it up, but I'm doing it because you're so worthy. And I just raise my hands and I try and declare who he is despite it all, whether my physical body or my week or whatever has happened, doesn't matter. God has not changed. And I sacrifice sometimes to do it. You know, I sacrifice sometimes to get on my knees. I still feel sometimes like I'm stupid. I still feel like people might think, oh, Mr. Spiritual over there. Those stupid things go through your head. But then you got to go like, I just want to do it because I can't stand in his presence sometimes. I just got to get on my knees. He's right there. And so it can be a sacrifice. And that's a good thing. Number two, worship is corporate, and I mentioned this already, but it needs to be intimate. We come together and have a time of worship. But you remember Russ, another one, saying this many times, it's the individual that feeds the corporate, not the corporate that feeds the individual, right? And it's through our relationships that we have, if there's a pile of people here that are all connecting with God individually in a room together, whoa, that's crazy, man. Sometimes my eyes just fill with water. I'm just like, God is moving, not just here. He's moving here. And it's so wonderful to be in a like a cloud of witnesses of just people all experiencing God together. That's amazing. But we, again, like I said, we have to choose, right? It's an individual thing. You can't jump on the back wagon of somebody else's worship. It's about connecting with God. You know, the Lord wants, more than anything, he wants intimacy. Not generally, but specifically with you, every one of you. That's the goal. Sometimes I'm just singing songs, I'll be honest. Sometimes I get distracted from the room. You know, there's a kid running around, a cup gets tipped over, or the sound system breaks down, right? Stuff happens. But God doesn't go anywhere. He's still there, and I'm still connecting with him. Sometimes distractions of the day, right? Sometimes the distractions of the week. You know, I've talked with Craig, and Craig's mentioned that times too, right? Just, man, the weight of the week can be distracting, right? But it's about intimacy. It's about connecting with God. And I'm so thankful, like I mentioned before, that this place, the leadership of this church, takes a high priority in creating an environment and a space for all of us to enter in. It's so important. It's so healthy. And it shouldn't just happen here. Okay? Not just once Sunday. We need to connect with God in worship in through the week. We can do that, right? You may not be able to play an instrument, but hey, you can get a song on your phone and go crazy. Okay, number three. Worship is an offensive attack against everything evil. Not offensive, offensive, okay? Worship is an offensive attack against everything evil. Now, why do I say that? Because God says his word is truth, right? His word is truth. Look at this scripture in Hebrews. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's what God's truth does. And we don't lightly pick the songs we sing. You know? We pick songs that are actually foundational, correct with Scripture. That's the things. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, we're not going to sing that song. That's kind of weird. We pick the songs that speak of Scripture. So we're singing Scripture. We're speaking Scripture. It might not be the exact verse, but it's the idea. It's the thought. It's the same truth, right? You could say it in a different way. And when we speak those truths, when we sing those truths, it breaks things. It cuts things in our own hearts. It pulls away things that are just like getting in the way, things that are confusing us, things that distract us, confusion of what a truth even is. You know, we can be living in a world that has painted a picture that's not true. You know, I remember a friend of mine, and he had a great analogy that he did when he was talking to an atheist, someone that didn't believe in God at all. And what he would do is he would draw a circle. So imagine I drew a big circle, and he said, okay, so in this circle is everything to know of about anything and every topic of life. Everything, okay? Math, science, everything. Everything's in this thing. So let's just take one subject. Let's say the subject of math, okay? All-consuming, what's math? You could go to school, you could take math, you become a math professor, and you could cut a pie, a little pie shape out of the circle and say, that's all there is to know in the world about math. And then when you went to school and learned tons, you probably learned maybe, you know, a quarter of that or half of all that's in the world, right? That's fair to say. And then you'd have another piece over here that's science, and you'd have another piece of pie over here that's another thing. But the thing he would say to this person is, you know, you look at your life as this whole circle, and God could be on this side, a pie over here, and you just haven't your realm of life and your experience hasn't actually experienced that part of God. You just haven't. You're missing that part of truth. There's other areas around that I have no idea. I have no idea about space technology. And like, there's lots of topics and things I have no idea. I have no piece of a pie at all. And people can have no piece of a pie of who God is easily. But when we engage God and we start seeking truth, it starts cutting those things off. It's an offensive attack against everything that is not true and breaks it down. Okay, that's number three. Number four, worship is spiritual. It's a spiritual thing. I'm going to show you a picture. Faith, you can show up that picture. Here's a picture of the tabernacle, okay? Back in the Old Testament. And so it's the whole picture. This is the courtyard, right? Here's the gate. There's an altar sacrifice laver. Then you go into the holy place. There's a candlestick, table of showbread, altar of incense, and then there's the holy holes. There's a veil here, and then the holy holes. Only the high priest could go into the holy holes once a year to pay atonement for our sins. But when Jesus died on the cross, the veil actually tore in two and made a way for us, right? Now, I want to give you a neat illustration here. Jesus has spoken through Scripture tons, and he's relating to this. Because this is a type and a shadow of what God was doing and trying to get to his people, how people could get back to God, right? Because we've had sin in our life, we've been separated from God, and now this is a type and a shadow. So have you ever heard scriptures where Jesus says, I am the gate? How about the Lamb? He's the Lamb of God, the sacrifice. There's your altar of sacrifice. The first thing you see when you go through the gate is a sacrifice. You know why that is? Because before we could ever get anywhere near God, a sacrifice had to be made. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice. And what after that was? A laver. This is a big wash bin for cleansing. But you can't get cleansed unless there's a sacrifice. God made a sacrifice for us. Then we could be washed and cleaned and take on his righteousness. And after those two things happened, then we could enter into the holy place. And in the holy place, it was quite cool because there's a table of showbread. So there's 12 pieces of bread in there representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Because at that time, God's people's in all nations now. But when it started out, God chose to come down and meet a certain type of people. And God showed the world through those people. And there was the 12 tribes of Israel. So that's a picture of him providing. Then there's this candlestick, which is kind of cool. The candlestick, this room, there's no windows or nothing, pitch black. There's one candlestick. It has burning by oil. It has little, not wick candles, but it runs on, sorry, if I'm mumbling here, but it sucks up oil from olive oil. Anyways, imagine this room. The walls and everything are all laid with gold. And the only light in the room is the candlestick. Who said he is the light of the world? Jesus said he was the light of the world. He lights up everything. And we are kind of like the gold on the wall because we reflect the light, don't we? Imagine being in this room all gold with one light. That would be cool, something to see. And then you have the altar of incense. They made all these incense, and that altar of incense never stopped. It was always this aroma in the room, constantly. And that's speaking of prayer and of worship, constantly going. And then there's the Holy of Holies, where you could enter into the Holy of Holies. This is a type and a shadow, a physical thing showing that worship is spiritual. We're not going back to this. God's done away with this. He blew a hole through the veil because there was a proper sacrifice made that he had planned. Right from the very first verses in the Bible, he said when Adam and Eve fell, he spoke about it right at the very beginning. I don't have that verse, but you could look it up if you want. So, powerful. Look at this next verse in Hebrews. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, That is through his flesh. It was his flesh, him dying on the cross, that bought us access to get back to God, because he washed us clean. Amazing. Another reason I can show you with another scripture that's meant to be spiritual, and I love this verse. So let me paint the context for you. Jesus has gone to Samaria. He meets a lady at the well. Samaritans were like half-breeds, and the Jews and the Samaritans didn't love. They hated each other, and the Jews thought the Samaritans were just like half-breeds, and they couldn't go to Jerusalem because they were half-breeds, and they couldn't worship there, so they made up their own temple, and they did their own thing. And Jesus is talking to this lady at the well, and she's struggling with, you know, well, this is Jacob's well, and you guys won't let us go over there. And Jesus says, there's an hour coming, and you can see this verse. Go to the next one. The hour is coming, and now is here. This is Jesus speaking to the lady at the well. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father is seeking people to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen? It's a spiritual thing. It's not just a sing-along. You know, it's amazing to me. Not all Christians get this, though. You know, I've been with Christians that sing songs, but they don't enter into worship. And I know that because they've looked at people that are entering into worship, and they go, it's a show about them. They're putting on a show. They're getting all excited, and they're, you know, I've heard that many, many times. And they're missing it. It's not about a show. It's not. It's about encountering the living God. And everything else doesn't matter. Okay, so one last thing I'm going to do is I just want to share with you some of my personal experiences of the last, man, what's it been now, 40 years? 40 years I've been spending time in the Holy of Holies. And I just want to share with you some things. And then I've asked the worship team to come up, and I thought, there's no better way to end a talk like this than with a worship song. And Marine's picked up a great song. I don't think most of you will know it, but you guys are great. You'll catch on, and we're going to have a great time here with the last song. Okay. So here's just a random, some lit things that I've personally experienced by spending time in the Holy of Holies. Number one, I encountered God of peace. I didn't realize how much unpeace, if that's a word, that I didn't live with. And when I encountered God, none of the circumstances changed, but yet everything on the inside changed, and I was good. Amazing. I know other people have experienced. I'm sure as I go through this list, people are going to just be nodding. I got that. And the second one I've had experienced is fear broken. I've had fear in my life, and literally in the midst of worship, just gone. I walk away from that meeting, I don't have that fear anymore. God literally broke it away. Anxiety melted away. We all deal with anxiety and stress, right? It's a continual thing. And we got to continually come back to God, because he's the mediator that, you know, makes a way for us and can wipe away every stress, can wipe away every anxiety. I've had it experienced so many times in my life. And it just draws me back to be with him again. Because if I spend too much time alone, on my own, then, man, the world gets ugly. My circumstances get ugly. Things get too stressful. Everything starts turning black, right? But then when I get back in the presence, and everything's perfect again. And that's the whole point. God's like, stay with me. Because this isn't the only time we can enter God. This isn't the only time we can, just our singing is the only time we can enter. And you can be reading your Bible. You can be driving down the road and, wow, enter into the Holy of Holies right there. I've been pouring my driving and crying, just meeting God, you know, just driving down the road. Another thing that's happened for me is I've had wisdom imparted. Right in the middle of singing a song, I'd be like dealing with a situation, and then I'm thinking about my boss, or I'm thinking about something else, and I almost caught myself thinking, what am I doing? I'm supposed to be singing this song. But then I realized God's actually downloading something. He's saying, no, I'm giving you a piece of wisdom here. And he's speaking directly to me. I was like, wow. Because sometimes, you know, you might look out in the crowd and think, well, that guy's not singing. That doesn't mean he's not entering into the Holy of Holies. He could totally be right there and God's just speaking something specifically to him. It can be very powerful. It's happened to me many times. I've received forgiveness and washed away guilt. That's an amazing feeling. Sometimes the enemy can be so hard on us, right? And he's always hard on us. But I mean, we can feel it sometimes. We feel guilty. You know, we've asked for forgiveness and we try and walk for it. Sometimes we don't forgive ourselves. We know God has forgiven us. He's out there somewhere. But to actually feel it, to actually feel that forgiveness and walk just 10 pounds lighter. You know, you walk out and it's just like, wow. It doesn't matter what people say, what people think. It doesn't matter. I've received this forgiveness from Christ. And it's a beautiful thing. Happens right in the midst of a song. It can happen right in the midst of a song. The weight of the world fell off. Kind of aligns with some of the things I already said, but sometimes I just felt the weight of the world, just too many things going on, and all that just washes away. And sometimes I've been filled with joy, crazy joy. It's a funny thing. I've been in rooms when a room has been filled with joy. People just start laughing, like uncontrollable laughter. Nobody told a joke. We're worshiping. And then just joy. And they can't contain it, and they start laughing, and it's just healing. It's actually healing. You know, the joy is, the scriptures have talked about that. Laughter, you know, like laughter is like a medicine, right? And joy. Joy is an amazing thing because it's not, I have joy because God just put $10,000 in my pocket. No, it's not like that. It's actually, it's on the inside. It's on the heart where it really matters, right? It's so incredible that God does that. So I hope this encourages you guys. That's my list. There's so many good things that God does. And I love being in this body because, like I said before, there's a space that made for it. And I encourage you, wherever you are on your journey, remember my journey. Remember where I've come from. We're all different places, and we all express differently. My wife expresses way more than I do. She's passionate. She's expressive. And you don't see me as abundantly as expressive as she is. But that's, we're just different people. And every one of us has a relationship to meet with God. That's what worship is about. That's what this time of worship is about. And so we're going to take time now, ask the worship team to come back up, and they're going to get a few seconds to set up. But my heart for you guys is that you would take those steps. I mean, we're in a great room. I mean, we have so many people here that are people that connect with God and worship. And so if you don't feel like you're that type of person and you're struggling or you're in that journey, you're in good crowd. Like, you're in good company. This is a good place because there's freedom here. We don't judge people. You know, if they get on their knees, we're just like, go God. You know, God's doing something over there. Someone's got tears in their eyes. Someone's just sitting. Someone's praying, like whatever. But there's freedom here, right? Because what we're about more than anything, and I know Russ would say the exact same thing, what we're about more than anything is that people would encounter Christ. And this is one way that we encounter Christ, is through worship. Don't let it be a sing-along. Don't let the things that you've grown up in, like me, that doesn't, music was not a thing for me at all. But yet, I've found a wonderful part of my life that I just love now. I love getting a worship song and putting it on in my car and just praising God going down the road and experiencing God that way. And it's for every one of us. But the purpose is that you would encounter God. It's a personal thing, heart to heart, His heart to your heart. So I encourage you all to continue on that journey. We're all on that journey, all of us. There's no one here that's not on that journey. We're all on that journey. And sometimes we get it. Sometimes Sundays I come here and I totally miss it. I just don't get there. But that's okay. That's okay. There's no check card. So are you guys ready? Okay. Cool.